Blog Talk Radio.
Right now. We are, oh, that is loud. Yay.
Fantastic.
Yay, but we are here. It's Tuesday. Tuesday, people. We are 2 days into the week. Friday is getting closer. Yay. All right. So, good morning, people. It is January the 15th. It is that time again. Lunch with Ginger and Corey. Welcome to the show. We are the girls who bring you the video game news, geeky news, and, well, news we think you might want to know, including zombies, every day, 11 a.m. Central Standard Time. So, welcome. All right, so I think Tori has a phone call. You got to love how that happens right as the show starts. But that's fine, because you know what? I've got some news for you. Apparently, video games... not so evil, even though the NRA was just pointing their finger at us. GamePolitics.com has a new story this morning. There has been an iOS game released, Practice Range, released on iOS devices. Yeah. it's hard to argue against the culture of violence influencing children when you release an iOS app that teaches kids ages 4+ how to aim a gun, and more accurately, how to shoot. Oh, my God. All right, so a newly released NRA licensed game developed by MEDL Mobile will turn your tiny tot into a killing machine. The game does not include any type of violent content save the ability to fire a handgun at human-shaped targets and clay targets. To its credit, the game also offers plenty of safety tips for players to keep them from doing stupid things. that the writers, as we assume, in real life. It does include an in-app purchase for additional firearms as well. So who is this talking? A description of the game on its product page says, NRA Practice Range puts the NRA's broad scope of resources in the palm of your hand. With the Second Amendment news feed, gun law information centers, and educational materials that you can access anywhere, anytime. They say the game itself is pretty tame. The age rating might be considered questionable by some. I don't know about letting a 4-year-old play this, but hey, what do you know? It is interesting that the NRA chose a developer who has, in the past, created games that it railed against in its press conference following the shootings in Newton, Connecticut. All right, so what games have they made? Well, Cheech and Chong's The Fatty, My Wild Night with Ted the Movie,
what?
Shotgun Free 2 Duel, yeah. All right. So anyways, NRA, you hypocrites. You dirty, dirty hypocrites. You know what? They're always blaming us for everything.
Well, that's... I'm sorry. Gamers don't make guns, so we'd like to point that out to you. Okay, I'll tell you what just happened that was hilarious. That was me calling myself. Yeah.
Well,
the bat line, I was like, the bat line is ringing. Let me grab that. I told Ginger, go ahead, take it. I got it. I got to grab this call. Somebody's calling on the bat line. It was me calling me. And I was wondering why I was hearing myself talking. I was like, who is being funny?
Well, Corey was being funny, of course. And did y'all change my channel key? Oh, my God.
I want to say good morning to Joe out there. You know, Joe messaged us last night. He wanted to play some Fallen Earth. I go in to, you know, to figure out how to add him as friend because, you know what, I have no idea how. And then I can't find him, so.
Well, I was sleeping, so yeah. I missed out on all that fun.
Well, we didn't get to any fun because he simply was not there to be found. But I will tell you what I did find last night that was oh so delicious and juicy. Have you guys been wondering why you haven't heard any news from CNET and CES this year? Have you wondered what was going on? Some of you have been like, eh, whatever. And, of course, we are not there, and quite a few other outlets are not there. Quite a few of your bigger outlets are not there for a reason. That's because they all quit in the middle of CES. Uh-huh.
They all quit?
They all quit. This is and the reason why this is not in the news as well is because they are usually the ones who report tech news. So GGR is, as always, picking up the slack. Technology reviews by website CNET, of course, have long been respected for their thoroughness and integrity, but the reputation has come under fire after a top reporter quit over what he says is editorial interference by his parent company, CBS Corp. CBS Corp also owns GameSpot and IGN, if I'm not mistaken. The dispute centers on CNET's choice of best gadgets from last week's international CES show in Las Vegas. According to our friends over at the Washington Post, CNET voted DishNet Corp's Hopper with Sling the best home theater and audio product because CBS is in a legal fight with Dish over the Hopper's ad-skipping capabilities. CBS vetoed the selection, saying the product couldn't be considered best of CES, and said CNET's official selection was a soundbar from TV maker Vizio. Reporter Greg Sundoval tweeted on Monday morning that he was resigning, saying he had lost confidence that CBS is committed to editorial independence. He says, I just want it to be known as an honest reporter. CNET wasn't honest about what occurred regarding Dish. In an apparent response to the resignation, CNET Reviews editor-in-chief Lindsay Turrentine posted a story on the site a few hours after Sandoval's tweet saying that around 40 CNET editorial members voted and Dish's Hopper won the designation because of innovative features that push shows recorded on DVR to iPad. She said the conflict of interest was real and said she contemplated quitting as well but stayed on to explain the situation to staff and prevent a recurrence. She said CNET staff was asked to re-vote after the Hopper was excluded and regretted not revealing at first that it had won. She says, I wish I could have overridden the decision not to reveal that Dish had won the vote. For that, I apologize to my staff and to CNET readers. A spokesman for CBS, which also owns such marquee journalism properties as Yes, CBS News and 60 Minutes, which is as you know, 60 Minutes, declined to comment on how a similar situation might be handled if it occurred at other news properties. He says, in terms of covering actual news, CNET maintains 100% editorial independence and always will. That's in a statement they put out. CBS, of course, bought CNET for $1.8 million in June 2008. In December, the site had 33.4 million visitors, up 8% from a previous year. CNET is also part of the whole GameSpot, the whole IGN. I may be mistaken there. I'm going to check, and I will let you know shortly. Not hard to check. Actually, I can let you know right now. Quick visit to the bottom of GameSpot page will tell me all I need to know. And that would be a... Looks like... Well, maybe they split off.
Maybe they split off?
Maybe they...
Are they going to create another or something?
I'm wondering if maybe they split off. I know at one... Oh, nope. Yep. They're owned by CBS. So, guys, we've been saying this for the longest time. We all know... We blame GameSpot for their journalistic integrity sometimes. But, yeah, I do believe... CBS, who has been an epic fail status for the longest time ever, has a lot to do with how they interact. Also, for our girls out there, the reason why we tend to shy away from GameSpot, and we have always encouraged you, yes, read it if you want, but be aware of who you're dealing with. Their audience profile, 96% male. Average age, 25. The ages they're catering to, 18 to 34. Yeah. Keep in mind, that's not a site for us, Our femme fatales. They don't even market to us. Anyway, so keep that in mind while you're over reading GameSpot today, that there was a whole lot of lying and shade going on of CES.
Apparently.
And they actually put on CES. So, you know.
That is a little strange.
I'm going to tell y'all now, we are not... We're biased towards whoever we think is right here, so whatever. And we're not owned by a parent company. GGR is a wholly owned company by us here at GGR. So we say whatever the hell we want to say.
Exactly. And if you don't like it, you can go home.
You can go listen to CNET and let them lie to you.
Exactly.
I'm sorry. You know what? Some people at CES are good. A lot of them are good journalists. We know it's not your fault. So CBS, bad CBS, bad.
How dare you? Bad CBS.
Dag because Hopper is awesome. You know about the Hopper?
Mm-mm.
Well, for those of you who don't know, Dish Network and their Hopper, and I want to say even AT&T's U-verse, and this is not just to dig at Xfinity crap or Xfinity, whatever you're calling yourself these days, but if you have a DVR with those two companies, you can record your shows up to several at a time. And for those of us, you know, like say you're watching Walking Dead and True Blood's on at the same time, which often happens, you have to pick one of them to watch so that you can record the other. This one, you can be like, I'm going to watch both of them later. And for me, I think it was a night like Sunday nights at one point. It had Leverage on at the same time as True Blood and Sky. What is it? I was going to say Skyfall. You know, Fallen Skies. And Walking Dead, all these were going on at the same time, so I had to kind of try to work out which one was which. And the lovely Walking Dead baby Natrix was not allowed to watch at the time this all started happening. So if I had had the Dish and the Hopper or U-verse's DVR, I could have recorded all of them and you know let her watch whatever it is she wanted to watch and not you know end up watching some things I don't want her seeing. And then also the content, you were able to pull it to your iPad, or if you ever, you know, one of the really nicer smartphones, you can do all of that. So they really deserved, regardless of the fact that it's Dish and, you know, maybe it's not the greatest here in Texas with the bad weather, they really did deserve to win that award. So for CBS, that's some kind of tampering. I don't understand why either. Do you own something in Dish they're Madison, that was why. Stupid.
That is very, 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 very stupid.
Stupid. Whose idea is it to not offer some integrity to our consumers? You know, we're spending the money. We deserve to know which product is the best.
Exactly. Exactly. I can say I honestly don't understand this.
And now, to further that rumor, I do hear that there was some recurrence as quite a few other reporters left. During CES. I am not aware of who or how many, but I have heard that a couple more have left, and that's just rumor. I'm not able to confirm that, but I don't blame him.
No, I don't either. Okay, so it is my go, I do believe, my go. Warner Brothers to seek R18+ ratings classification for Mortal Kombat Complete Edition in Australia. Warner Brothers will submit Mortal Kombat Complete Edition to the Australian Classification Board. The newly introduced R18 ratings classification, the company announced. The game was released in the U.S. February 2011. Australia, of course, you know, some uptight weirdos. The game was banned by the Classification Board in 2011 for explicit violence that included blood spray and limb dismemberment during fatalities. The goriness of the game made it so that it was not tame enough to meet the maximum MA-15+ guidelines in place in early 2011. Warner Brothers later tried to appeal the ban, but that proved unsuccessful. We told you about that past year, I think. With the new rating system in place that includes an adult classification, Warner Brothers is hoping that the game will finally be able to be sold in the region. Warner Brothers Entertainment Australia will be submitting the Mortal Kombat Complete Edition for classification under the new R18 classification category. This is GameSpot AU. The publisher did not give specifics on precisely when the game would be submitted. Earlier this month, the classification board announced that the first title to receive the new R18+ rating in Australia would be Ninja Gaiden 3, Razor's Edge for the Wii U. Of course, you know, Nintendo gets their stuff fast.
Wow.
I know, right? It's strange, I tell you.
Oh, is it my turn?
Yeah. Just tiny little bit. It's all right.
I was waiting. I was like, is she done? I can't tell.
Yeah, I'm done.
All right. Star Wars, The Old Republic Online is now using the slang term, that's so ghetto. And people are very upset about it.
That's so ghetto.
That's right. Excuse me, let me reiterate, let me be more specific. Gay ghetto. EA and BioWare have come under pressure from both sides for introducing the same-sex relationships to Star Wars MMO The Old Republic. The new options to romance companion NPCs will be restricted to one planet. itself part of the content only available to paying customers rather than those taking advantage of the gamers game's free-to-play sections, upsetting both those who campaigned for and against for their inclusion. Same gender relationships have been on the cards for the struggling MMO for some time, but their introduction was delayed by the work necessary to convert the game from its original subscription model to free-to-play. Now the option to become romantically embroiled with NPCs who share your gender will be introduced as part of the Rise of the Hutt Cartel expansion coming later this spring. However, according to Games Industry International, even once that paid-for content hits the servers, players will only be able to engage in what the developers shorthand as SGR, same-gender relationships, on a single planet, that of Mekeb. Now, while Spio...
Mekeb?
Mekeb. I think it's... Well, somebody will correct me, I'm sure, on the pronunciation. M-A-K-E-B? Mekeb, maybe, or Mekeb? I don't know. While BioWare has a good track record of offering non-heterosexual romance options in its games, attracting the ire of religious and homophobic groups alike, for the inclusion of SGR in the Mass Effect series and its plans to do so in Star Wars, and for some reason they seem to have skipped over the fact that it's been available in Sims since 1996, the decision to restrict them solely to Mekeb for the time being has upset many who had campaigned for their introduction. As a result, BioWare and EA have been accused of marginalizing, ghettoizing, and segregating non-heterosexual romance. Although it represents a marked improvement on the views of same-sex relationships expressed in any number of games historically, the decision to put these options behind a paywall instead of adding them to existing areas also attracted the accusations of exploitation, arguing that EA is trying to squeeze what cash it can from those players who wish to engage in the new romances. On top of that, BioWare's forums are also ablaze with the fury of those Star Wars fans who felt that homosexuality has no place in the fictitious universe, calling for a return to the intergalactic family values. Albeit ones which are happy to allow interspecies
intergalactic
coupling.
Intergalactic family values?
Did you catch what I just said?
Really? Brother kissing sister? All right.
Okay. They're okay with the interspecies coupling, genocide, and ruthless pursuit of absolute power at any cost. In a blog post discussing the game's developmental progress, executive producer Jeff Hickman addresses the issue, saying that, first of all, I want to apologize that this has taken so long to get in the game. He says, I realize we promised SGR to you guys and that many of you believe this would be with a companion character. Unfortunately, this will take a lot more work than we realized at the time, and it, like some other pieces of content we talked about earlier in the year, has been delayed as we focus on the changes required to make the game free-to-play. As we've said in the past, allowing same-gender romance is something we are very supportive of. However, Hickman also raises hopes by vaguely intimating that there are also plans for a wider introduction and integration of SGR to the game world. It says, we want to reveal today that we are adding SGR with some NPCs on Mekeb and do intend on pursuing more SGR options in the future. I see where it looks like they're trying to make money off of it. However, when you take away the free-to-play option for the the homosexual thing and make it a paying thing, I think it works better. I know some of you from the gay and lesbian LGBT communities, and I know what it looks like, but I think this is going to be the best way to go. It kind of takes the power out of the hands of the other people who would say, I don't want it in my game, because the only way you get it is you're paying. But I do wish it was the whole game. Anywhere in the game, so long as you were paying for this particular add-on.
Yeah.
I hope that's where you guys are headed. And then it takes it out of their hands, especially if you're free to play. Shut the hell up. You don't want to see it? Don't play. You ain't even paying. And I would go so far
as to say, I don't understand some of these people. They're so stupid. It hurts me. It hurts me physically. Physically hurts me with how stupid they are. Like, I can feel pain.
I don't get why it should bother you. It's a game. It's been in Second Life since day one. They've had, you know, transgendered, gay, lesbian, bi, whatever relationships people have had it. And sometimes they don't even know they're in a gay relationship. Sometimes the women are pretending to be men, the men are pretending to be women. It doesn't matter, people.
Exactly. It doesn't. Not at all.
And I get tired of the, you're liberal. That's why you feel that way. No, I feel that way because so-and-so, you know, if my neighbor's gay, they're not paying my bills. And the fact that they're gay does not affect me in any way, shape, form possible. Mm-hmm. As long as they're not having wild parties and throwing rocks through my window, I really don't care what they're doing in the privacy of their own home. Don't be murdering people over there and eating them. If you're paying your taxes like I am, I don't care what you do. You don't bother me, I don't bother you. That doesn't make me liberal. That means I am a live and let live kind of person.
Exactly.
And to me, to try to tell somebody what they can and cannot do, I might as well stand on the street corner and start, you know, bitching at people about everything. You know, you shouldn't be riding the bus. I'm going to need to take your money. That's too much. That's crossing a line, and people need to start to understand that. It's not about what you think. It's about mind your own damn business.
Exactly. Mind your own damn business. Ain't none of your business. Ain't none of your business. What is wrong with you people?
I have the right to tell nobody anything.
Exactly. Exactly. I don't.
And look, and let me talk to my Christian people out there who would probably be listening to the show later. You may stop listening after I say this, but for you to infer that there's something wrong with being gay and that God, your God, didn't not intend for gayness to happen would be, in fact, inferring that your God makes mistakes. And I thought that was against the rules.
Exactly. Exactly. He has his own rules, his own thing, right? Yes, no?
That means he made a mistake, which means he's not perfect, as you keep teaching the church. I just want to point that out to you all. If he's perfect, then he didn't make a mistake, which means there's nothing wrong with gay people. And I'm done off my soapbox for today.
Are you sure?
I might come back to it in a minute. I'm hungry, and I cooked something that smells good, so I'm a little agitated.
Okay.
So I may be on the soapbox again in a minute.
Okay. All right, just checking there. Okay, so, Valve. All right, and our stream is not working today for some odd reason. I'll have to figure that out. Valve's Gabe Newell talks about invading the living room space, living room gaming space. If y'all have not heard, we've been talking for months about there being rumors, and I'm pretty sure Gabe actually came out and said, no, nothing's going on. We're not going to have our own console. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Recently, Valve Software co-founder Gabe Newell sat down with Chris Hardwick of the Nerdist podcast.
Love Chris Hardwick. He also hosts the show that comes on after The Walking Dead, Talking Dead. I love you, Chris. He is such a cute little nerdy.
Oh, is he?
He's adorable. He's absolutely adorable.
See, I was talking to somebody the other day talking about geeks and nerds don't get girls. Yes, they do, man.
You know what? I don't like short men, but I would so sit in Chris Hardwick's lap. He'd probably giggle and stuff, and but I would so sit in his lap. That's if he likes girls. And I'm not saying you don't, Chris. If you do, I'd sit in your lap, and I'd smooch you and listen to you giggle. He is so cute.
Well, Valve's Gabe Newell talks about invading the living room gaming space. Recently, Valve Software co-founder Gabe Newell sat down with Chris Hardwick of the Nerdist podcast. Sorry, you wrote that. They're talking about the company's plans to take over the living room entertainment space with Steam's big picture mode and with hardware like Steambox. Some of the conversation was transcribed. Newell says that the decision to enter the living room entertainment space was not much of a leap. While we thought the distinction between living rooms and PCs was artificial, that's why we did the 10-foot big picture mode and why we are putting 10 foot into our games onto Linux. We don't think there's any reason why there are islands. We don't think you have a different set of friends. You go a different set of friends when you go into your living room. Yes, I do. We think you can extend the PC totally to be in the living room. Why doesn't my game experience continue whether I'm on mobile, in the living room, at work, or on an airplane, says Newell. It's not because it isn't technically feasible, and it's not because it isn't the right thing to do. It's because the people who control mobile right now, Apple, have zero interest in interoperating well with the people who currently are controlling the living room, and they are completely interested in creating the silo separate from what you're doing on your laptop or your desktop. That's why I don't like Apple. Newell goes on to say that Valve's hardware plans call for input devices that offer the control and the preciseness that you are used to with a mouse and a keyboard, except in a mobile-friendly, living room-friendly way. He also thinks that the company's success gives it the unique ability to try to be interestingly innovative. Valve's war chest from Steam and games like Portal, Counter-Strike, Half-Life, Team Fortress, and Left 4 Dead gives the company a safety net to take some risks on hardware. He notes that the hardware has become notoriously unprofitable. At this point, we think that all of the profitability has been stolen out of the hardware. Dell has terrible margins. That's because they make terrible hardware. Razer has terrible margins.
You Why
we're
saying that? Expensive. Is it really that bad? I've never owned a Dell, but
Dell can go suck it.
Ooh, we are in the raw today. Mm-hmm. This is not good.
No. Newell says we need to start taking some of that and feeding it back into more speculative investments like the wearable computing project or the controllers. So that's the big picture version of it. You know what, Newell? I have to go out and say, I think if anybody is actually going to make any kind of progress on the whole wearable computing, it's going to be you. You know, I really think he thinks enough outside the box and that he's got enough drive and enough ego to make it happen.
Well, one would hope. He's going to need to fix that whole we're fighting with EA issue. Just saying.
True story.
You're going to need to take care of that because I want to be able to buy my games wherever I want to buy them and play them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to walk away from that.
Okay.
I'm going to walk away from that, Gabe, because, you know, we'll have to deal with Blaster. Although we're not afraid of you, we might be a little afraid of Blaster. Just a little bit. Don't tell him we said that.
Just a little bit?
Don't tell him. We don't want to tell him. We don't want his head getting too big.
Okay.
Now, those of you who are playing Guild Wars, you should feel oh so vindicated today because Guild Wars 2 sales are over 2 million.
Yay!
I'm sorry, 3 million copies. Lead designer Colin Johansson also shared what lies ahead for the MMO in 2013. What there won't be is another tier of equipment like Ascended, he says, because what a stink that caused. He said, our reward system needs to be exciting and include things that you want to earn over time, but we don't want to force our players on endless gear treadmills for new tiers of gear we add every 6 months. Nice. You won't see another tier between Ascended and Legendary in 2013. For example, our goal will be to use our existing reward systems and build new ones that are fun and exciting. Using our existing reward systems and build new ones that are fun and exciting and step away from the stale gear and grind reward systems you see elsewhere. You don't see those in Fallen Earth. The new types of rewards ArenaNet is working on will pop up in the latter half of the year. Some of you will be able to earn through an extended achievement system, which will give you tokens to spend on rewards as an reward, apparently. Guilds will also be able to go on guild missions together in 2013, and it sounds like guilds will be able to make content for other people, too. Some of these missions will be content designed specifically for the guild to accomplish within certain constraints or time requirements. Johansson wrote, while others see the creation of new content by a guild, everyone in the world can experience. According to Eurogamer, there will also be guild rewards and tools to allow guilds of all sizes to play a stronger part in solidifying the communities of Guild Wars 2 world. World versus world will get a new prestige and an advancement system. This will give players a progression path where they earn new world versus world only abilities and bonuses and them to gain prestige and visible titles and recognition. Yay, I really never cared about any of that stuff. Of course, they're going to overhaul the PvP, it says. There'll be some competitive PvP. There'll be website leaderboards. You know, they're kind of doing a little old school stuff that you haven't seen in a while. You don't see in a whole lot of, I think WoW still has that stuff, but they don't really amp it up as much as they used to. They said there'll be some redesigned boss encounters, new achievements, improved game security, improved looking for group tool, and improving the new player experience for newcomers. Yay! They're saying 2013 is going to be their year. I have to agree. Some of you are all in love with Guild Wars. I'm sorry, I'm staying in my Fallen Earth and Secret World because I am loving the freedom to just be able to wander. That is all kinds of hot.
Fallen Earth is beautiful.
Okay, now I have a piece of fluff news, and I just decided I was going to do this just because.
Fluff news?
Yes, I'm calling it fluff news. Okay, so you guys know we often mention my good friend Maximus. Yes, I'm calling you by your whole name. Maximus Dykoff, who is one of the lead engineers over working on The Last of Us, who decided last night to post a picture of himself eating Chips Ahoy cookies as his crunch time dinner. If you don't know what crunch time is, they're in the last stages of the game where they're trying to get it finished. Can y'all go on over by Max's Facebook and try to help him eat healthy? And tell him Corey sent you. Max, stop eating them cookies, or at least send them to me. We like cookies here. You don't need to eat cookies. We want your brain clear because we want a really good game. Although we know you can create a good game because, you know, Halo 1 through 3 is pretty much your baby. We want another.
Yeah.
We want Last of Us to be like that. It needs to be awesome. And cookies ain't going to cut it, man. And yes, I know I'm going to have to run from you next time I see you. But you got to catch me first. Ha! Anyway.
He's going to kill me.
The cookie has been a topic of conversation literally all night. People have been posting about him and those cookies.
I want some cookies.
You can't just be posting pictures of yourself with a whole box of cookies saying that's what you had for dinner. And expect nothing to happen.
That is not right. I want some cookies.
Look, and expect no comment from me at all. I had to say something.
Oh, cookies? I can have cookies. where are my cookies?
See, Matt, all right. Where are your cookies, man?
Yeah, man, I want some cookies. I'm a little bit jealous. You got cookies, and I have no cookies.
Well, he's eating cookies during crunch time. This is not the time to be eating the cookies. We want a really good game. Cookies are not good for brain power. They're, you know, short-lived.
Yes, exactly.
I'm so dead.
Exactly.
Are y'all going to protect me? He's going to kill me.
If he kills you, I will kill him.
Ginger, we're little bitty people, and he's big people.
I ain't scared. I got a gun.
We don't want to shoot him. We don't get any more games. We can't shoot him.
Oh, well, there's that.
We could tie him up.
Ooh.
And leave him alone with his woman for a few hours.
With his woman?
Yeah, I think that would detract. I think that would detract from our murder, or at least our stomping.
Maybe, just a little bit. It was her. It wasn't us, sir. We don't know what he's talking about. We would never.
Sir, we don't call Max sir. Anyway.
Well, I was talking about the police when they come.
Oh, yeah, okay, the police are sir. Max don't get a sir.
No. We did not do this. We don't know what you're talking about.
I don't think he would complain if we bring the woman in. We'd be good.
Ah, well, you know, we could try that.
We'll discuss more about this plan later.
Yes, we will. All right. So, UK film studio Pinewood opening a game school.
Oh, nice.
UK-based film studio Pinewood is working towards launching a new school that teaches students about the creation and production of video games. The company, whose facilities have been used for countless James Bond films, the Dark Knight movies, and the Academy Award-nominated Les Miserables, whatever. Anyways, whatever that movie was, I can't pronounce it, has signed a memorandum of understanding with the Amersham and Wycombe College to explore the creation of a center of excellence, which will develop and deliver education and qualifications related to video games, animation, and film. The new school would be part of the proposed expansion of Pinewood Studios, the Pinewood Development Framework. The new school will put a strong emphasis on many of the things outlined in the Next Gen report, co-authored by game industry luminary Ian Livingstone and Alex Hope, including game development and visual effects. Other areas to be explored include studio management, sound engineering, and production. We are thrilled to be announcing these plans today to develop a center of excellence for the screen-based industries here at Pinewood. That's coming from Pinewood Studios Director of Strategy and Communication, Andrew Smith. That actually is his last name. We hope it will help to provide the next generation of talent with the skills they need to turn their ideas into commercial success. By basing the center at Pinewood, it will allow students to work with and learn from industry colleagues who are at the top of their game, working on award-winning and international productions on a daily basis. That's awesome. That's awesome. I still say we need a game high school, which there is one being created. I want to say in Florida. We read about it a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, we did, because, you know, they have a lot of high school for performing arts in cities, and we have a high school for medical professions. We really need one for game development. You know what? That school would be out of control.
It would be amazing.
I can just imagine the people sitting on the floor. They're playing games before and after class. They're arguing about pathing and programming and 3D modeling. And your 3D model sucked in class. And
oh, my God.
Oh my God.
That would be both awful and amazing. I love it. Let's do it.
I will tell you then, if they ever create that, I would go and get teaching certificates so I could teach at that school, because I would adore that. I would become a teacher. Otherwise, no. That's why I'm not a teacher. I would kill some people's children. I'm sorry. No, I wouldn't kill them. Let me not say that after what's been happening. When I say kill, I mean figuratively, because I'd be like, boy, what do you mean you didn't turn in your homework?
No, right? Oh.
Oh, now I'm going to have to cut you. Yes. I had a teacher like that used to scare people. Miss Green, if you didn't turn in your homework, she would just stop talking and just look at you for like 2 or 3 minutes. And that doesn't sound scary. But she was a, I'm trying to figure out who she looked like. She looked like a cross between Meryl Streep and somebody else, you know, with these, but her eyes were like really, really green. Hair always perfect. She kept it pulled back in a bun, blonde hair. Yeah, and she was, you know, one of those very voluptuous women. She could go either way. She was either really a gorgeous, voluptuous woman or very scary.
I need to put in for vacation, just so you know.
Well, what happened?
I know I just did a story, but I kind of got to do another one.
Uh-oh, do it.
Come for a tour of China's unlicensed World of Warcraft theme park. Ouch. All right. Changzhou, China, is home to the bizarre World of Warcraft.
Oh, my God.
World of Warcraft-style theme
park. Stop, let me breathe. Okay, I don't even like World of Warcraft, and that's sexy. Oh, my God.
That is amazing.
Oh, my God.
It's completely... doesn't care about that. The park opened in the summer of last year. It reportedly cost $48 million to build, and it's pretty huge. Says a user from Reddit, Francisca Timbers. There are pictures. There's a gallery. Oh, my God. Timbers says, I thought it was great. A lot of the rides used 4D and special effects, which I hadn't experienced much before. There was a good roller coaster with loops where you were lying horizontally face forward like you're flying. That was my favorite ride. The waterlog ride, Splash of Monster Blood. It was pretty good, too.
Okay, I might want to ride. I don't do roller coasters, but I may want to ride that.
Some rides had happiness indexes showing the intensity of the ride. Most of the park is Warcraft-flavored. One section is dedicated to another Blizzard favorite, StarCraft.
Ooh.
Oh, my God. All right, so I've got these pictures. Oh, my God. I'm going to need fresh panties. Oh, my God. Okay, I am going to tweet this out.
Oh, my God. You did not just say that.
I'm sorry. It's so true. All right. At Gamer... Girls Radio. There we go. I'm tweeting this to you right now. That's tweeted. Check it out. That's amazing. The water ride, the log ride that she's... Oh, my God. Beautiful. I've never wanted to go to China before. China, I'm coming for you. I'm coming.
I have to translate the concept. Hey, watch the allegory there. Watch it.
Oh, my God. That's
I want to send also some love out to gaming mommies in there this morning. Hi, guys. I just want to tell y'all I love y'all. okay, there's something going on that I don't like. I can't say that on the air. We'll talk to Ginger about that later. Anyway, I'm sorry. I gotta get over this WoW theme park. If we can get one of those, we can get any kind of a thing. We need a gaming-themed theme park where they just change the attractions like every 2 to 3 years. Like, you know, one time it's Halo, you get to ride on the back of the Warthog. Oh, man.
Oh, I would be all over that.
A Mario Kart, go-kart thing. Oh.
This is beautiful how they've done... Oh, no, wait a minute. Is that the Disney Dome in the background there?
That is blasphemy.
You know that the white ball, it's got a ride in it, something of the future, whatnot, inside
that
of it.
That is blasphemy.
That is the dome. All right, second picture, bottom right-hand cornerish. If you look right below the whatever the hell monster this thing is, right below his weapon, you can see the top of the dome.
Wait, which monster are we talking about here?
I didn't drop that into Skype, did I? We dropped this into Skype for you?
I have the link, but...
Okay, second picture. Beautifully World of Warcraft theme park, the weird half horse half.
Oh, I see that. That's Epcot Center, hey?
Yeah, Epcot. They've got the ball. It's like the ride of the future is inside of it or something.
Oh, that's not cute.
But that's no. So not only are y'all copying World of Warcraft here, y'all've got the Epcot Dome.
Okay, is this actually at Disney? Where is it? Is the question.
This is in China. This is not at Disney.
Isn't there a Disney? Isn't there a Disney in China? Isn't there one there?
I think so too, but
so maybe this is where they built it.
Somewhere.
Maybe this
close
is where.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe they built it around the same area. It makes sense, but we need to keep our Disney and our World of Warcraft separate, because I'm telling you, if I see a Disney movie, a Disney World of Warcraft movie, I don't, like I said, I don't play the World of Warcraft online. I like Warcraft, you know, the RTS. So I'm still a fan. I understand, you know, what I'm looking at when you guys are talking about your characters and classes and things. But I will cut you, people. There will be no Disney World of Warcraft movie. I am already not happy that Disney is doing a Star Wars movie.
They are kind of screwing things up, aren't they?
Yeah, we need you guys. Even you guys need to get some more. You need to get George Lucas back in there and give him a bigger budget, and hire on some more gamers and, you know, nerds and geeks. Or you all need to stop doing this, Disney. That's what I'm going to say. Just cut it out. Really, it's ridiculous.
Something.
Not cute.
No, not cute at all. Not cute at all.
Oh, it's my turn, is it?
Yeah, it's your turn.
Sorry.
Your turn.
I'm sorry, I'm all like,
I'm still sitting here looking at the pictures. I'm sorry.
I'm imagining a whole game. I'm not a whole game-themed park. Just all of your favorites. Let us vote every year which ones we want to see. Okay. Now, we talked about Valve Steam Box. Microsoft is actually trying, well, it's a little catty. It's a little catty.
Microsoft being catty? No.
It's a little catty, but it's also a warning. Of course, you know, Valve made headlines this week when they confirmed that they will be entering the console business with Steam Box. For the Half-Life company, it marks a desire to take on the big boys, Sony, Microsoft, and Nintendo, with their own hardware that's going to be powered by Steam and Linux. Is that why he kept mentioning Linux last year? Were you trying to drop us some hints? Is that what it was? Of course, today, Phil Harrison, Microsoft Studios executive, ex-Sony PlayStation development boss and console business veteran, issued a warning to Valve and the companies behind the raft of new micro-consoles in the works. Yes, they're talking to you too, Ouya, and that other one we were talking about. They said entering the hardware business is a really tough business. Just ask, what was that one we covered a few years ago? Something, micro something, I don't know. It says you have to have great fortitude to be in the hardware business, and you have to have deep pockets and a very strong balance sheet. It's not possible for every new hardware entrant to get to scale. They can be successful at small scale, but it's very rare for a new hardware entrant to get to scale, and by that he means tens or hundreds of millions of units. There are a very small number of companies that can make that happen. He says, and it's not just having a great brand or a great software experience. It's about having a supply chain and a distribution model and a manufacturing capacity and all the things that go with it. It's a non-trivial problem to solve, and it takes thousands of people to make reality. Valve is perhaps uniquely positioned to create its own console given the vast revenues its digital source team generates for the firm, but it is still a new era of business for the company that made its name making games. Harrison continued that he admires Valve as a company and what they've achieved with Steam, and when asked if Microsoft would be satisfied if in 2 years' time it had emulated the success of Steam with its own cloud gaming offering, he said, so I wouldn't in any way criticize what they've achieved and the role they've played in the industry, but I'm not sure we would choose Steam as a benchmark of success. We would always seek to innovate and push beyond. Xbox Live is a foundation. The reach we have and the experience we deliver is a great place to build on. Xbox Live currently enjoys over 40 million users from over 70 million Xbox 360 sold. Steam enjoys over 50 million active users, which is still just software. Sorry, Steam.
Yeah.
Despite the apparent threat posed by the Steam Box and the Android-powered Ouya, Harrison welcomed their ilk. He says any new entrant, without being specific to any company, brand, or product to the games industry, is ultimately a good thing because it helps validate, grow, and enhance consumer excitement and consumer interest in our company. So ultimately, it's a win for everyone. I would also like to mention that Harrison is very cute.
Is Harrison very cute?
Like that has anything to do with the console? But I thought I'd throw that out there from a girl who he's not super super cute, but he's all right. I'd sit in his lap.
He's all
right. I'd sit in his lap. He's one of those geeks that needs glasses. I think you need some glasses, dude. Like some really just geeky glasses with just hotness for you. Otherwise, your face looks a little too something. Okay, but I have to.
A little something.
Yeah. But I do agree with him. The thing that worries me about the Steam Box is that it is Linux. And we know as we know, only, and I'm not even this hardcore, the hardest of hardcore, some of you geeks out there, are the only ones who really play around with Linux and are going to understand what's happening if things are going wrong and how to fix it. And those of us who are, I call, mid-level geeks, where, you know, we got a little skill. We can build the computer. We know what's going on when it's a Windows error. Even with the Xbox, if the Xbox has an error, the inside of Xbox is still essentially a version of Windows, whether some of you want to admit it or not. It's still a Windows. Mm-hmm. We kind of know what to do to fix it. You know, it's not doing this. We know we need to do this. And Linux is not widely used. I don't know what's going to happen with that. That concerns me. And not that Linux in the next few years, you know, as a result of this, might not just blow up. People may start wanting to use it, but I'm concerned that yes, it's good to have them there, but it may damage more than it helps. And Steam, you still got some things you need to work on. Again, I point back to my previous issue. I need to be able to play the game anywhere.
And, true story.
And,
I said, I think if anybody's going to make any sort of dent in the whole mobile, actual, completely gaming, it's going to be them. It's going to be Gabe. It's going to be Gabe Newell.
I believe he can do it. I'm hoping, don't just do Linux. Can you please?
I know he seems to be going towards the whole Linux fanboy thing, and this goes in seasons, it seems to be, where everybody wants to move to Linux, or at least the hardcore ones will move to Linux, and Linux isn't bad, it's just, it's so inconvenient.
Yes, that's a good word for it, it's inconvenient. Do they have a office for Linux?
I'm sure they've got an emulator that'll make it work.
Yeah, matter of fact, there is one, and it's, apparently it runs natively on the Linux platform.
Really?
But it's
interesting.
But I'm seeing its plugins and blah blah blah. But I don't know if it crosses, and that's what I think. The other thing is, let me see how I can put this. Other thing we have to worry about with the Steam Box is they've now, I noticed, started getting into putting up software for you to buy, and some of it looks to be good software, but it's not a ton of it, and I don't know of a lot of developers as far as their bottom line are going to, if they're not developing in Linux already, are going to switch so that they can get their software out on your platform. This goes for game developers too. You see how much trouble Nintendo's having with trying to get developers to develop for something that is kind of where they went and they thought outside the box, but developers just don't know what to do with it.
Yeah,
they don't know what to do with it, so they tend to shy away from doing stuff for Nintendo, and the same thing may happen here. They may, some of them probably understand Linux, it's now I gotta put a game together to work in Linux and with this box and work on 50 million different types of smart TVs. I'm sure you're going to want to throw some motion something in there, and that's...
Oh, my God, motion sensors.
Yeah.
See, and I totally believe that if we are going to get into a fully immersive gaming environment where it's, you've got the whole, like, the headset and the gear that you're wearing and you're actually able to move, sort of, we're not only going to be using kind of like the Wii balance board, but, yeah, we're going to have, like, the old Nintendo hand pieces on, and, oh, it's going to be so sexy. And it's totally going to be through Linux first. Somebody out there, crazy nerdy, and, by the way, love nerds, mwah, 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 is going to be making that. So, I don't know. All right, so, where was I going?
I'm in trouble.
You're in trouble.
I'm in trouble.
Uh-oh.
Run! Run.
No!
Somebody,
all right, so
to hide. I gotta hide somewhere.
You can hide underneath my bed.
Beds is not a good place to hide. I got one more little bit of news I'm gonna throw in here.
You do that, and then I'm gonna talk about some grumbles.
Actually, you posted this up, but I was gonna talk about it too. Ginger just posted this up. The King of the Nerds TV show that's gonna be airing on TBS.
Yes, yes, yes. I liked that on Facebook yesterday, the day before. I don't know.
I'm going to like it, but I'm not liking it. I'm going to like it because I want to see my fellow geeks do well, but I'm not.
No, because I haven't actually gotten in to see what all it's about, but I'm afraid they're only going to show the acceptable-looking nerds.
They did exactly the opposite. Is what I don't. I wish you went all across the board.
Really?
I think this looks like the nerd version of the freak show at the circus. Honestly, is what I'm seeing in the
program. Oh, come on! All of us are like that.
Yeah, not all of us are like that. And it's also, I think, with the promos. Like I said, I haven't watched the show, so I'm going to reserve my full judgment until I actually watch it next week. But the promos look like we're showing the freakiest and the craziest and out of context as well. I don't like it. I need you guys to do a little bit different promos. Please do different promos.
Yeah, I don't know. Cause, you know, some of us geeks like looking nice. Hell, I've got a date to go to the salon in a couple of days, so that's gonna be all nice. I'm getting a massage, I'm getting pampered.
Yeah, it's already getting some bad comments. I'm going to borrow one from Miss Jenny Higgins, who posted on the King of the Nerd show. I want to be on a real nerd show. This one's probably bleep. TNT and TBS are two of the, you know, semi-cable networks that are running these types of shows. Like they, TNT, I think it was TNT that had the Greatest Gamer or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they have this one. And really, I'm going to throw it out there again. It's my idea. You can have it. It's fine. You all need to do a show about gaming, how the game is made from beginning to end, everything. Needs
yes.
to be done that way. That's what we need. And gamers will watch that and allowing them a chance to get to play. If you do, there's a whole ton of things you can do, and it's reputable, and we would probably be very comfortable with that. It doesn't go to this extreme. I watched a promo for this morning before we did the show, and I just don't like what I'm seeing. It doesn't give me a good feeling being part of the, because I am a nerd and a geek and very proud of it. But I don't walk around always dressed like, you know, Princess Peach or something like that. You know, most of us are normal. We have jobs. This doesn't make
sense. That's called cosplay. We don't do that every day.
Yeah. Although you have some people that do a version of it.
Do.
But those people are a little bit off anyway. No, they're not off. I'm not going to call you guys off. We love you too.
They're not off. They're interesting.
They're very. I just don't want. I don't want us portrayed in a bad light, and that's what is scaring me. I don't want my fellow geeks portrayed in a light that's going to cause the rest of us any kind of harm. And I know, even looking at the picture of all the people on the show, it's not everybody looks dressed normal except for this one girl on the end. It looks like she's wearing pajama bottoms. Girls are supposed to be worn in the house. And then we got our nerd cosplay girl, which she's kind of cute. And she was in Japan. She looks perfectly normal. That's perfectly normal gear. I know some of you are like, oh, that's loud, but it's perfectly normal in Japan, so I'm not too off with it. Everybody else looks relatively normal, and I'm cool with that. I just don't like on the show that it's going to be a free-for-all. I'm going to see people running around with Viking hats and things like that. That's not how we all are on a daily.
No.
At least not with you all, you regular people out there in the world. When we're with our peoples, that's different.
Yep, just a little bit different. Okay, so Gramble Social Gaming Network shifts focus to mobile and tablet. Gramble, which sounds familiar, I think we've talked about it before, Gaming for Good app, released in open beta December 2012, shifts initial focus to mobile and tablet platforms in response to overwhelming player preference. Charity funding gaming network Gramble launched its web app, Gramble.com, during the 2012 holidays with the initial goals of testing early social features and activity feeds, providing a pipeline for charitable funding and boosting charity and developer and game visibility by providing a feel-good environment for game players with easy discoverability. Since its launch, the Gramble app has received over 100,000 hits a day, with between 700 and 1,000 new users signing up each day to the network. Gramble is doing a great job of retaining its users, with over 80% coming back. Players currently beta testing. Players currently beta testers for the company are encouraged to contribute feedback on the network, their likes, dislikes, and any bugs they encounter. We've had a remarkable response from the players and on our network, says CEO Adam Palmer. I do recognize that name. The fantastic thing is our players are largely requesting social features that are already in our pipeline for 2013. However, network data and early feedback have led Gramble to the conclusion that their web version is not yet up to the company's standard of responsiveness and effectiveness. Furthermore, analytics show that 90% of the app's traffic is coming through smartphones and tablets. For this reason, Gramble has announced they will be shifting its short-term strategy to focus solely on the mobile and tablet applications, rolling out and testing new features here before relaunching the web app. Palmer adds, when we look at the global data for gaming, the future is without doubt mobile, and more importantly, tablet. With both being part of our founding DNA, the prospects for 2013 are looking bright. However, Gramble emphasizes that the web app is still instrumental in the company's long-term plans. A slick web version is in the works. This is coming from Alistair. Ooh, I love that name. Alistair Burns, Gramble's COO. We plan to deliver it in time for developers to showcase their Gramble preference at the San Francisco GDC this coming March 25th through the 29th. This is actually kind of awesome. So that's Gramble. If you want to check that out, like I said, it looks like it's mainly for the mobile phones and tablets right now. Gramble.com, kind of cool. Check it out. Get your news. Get your, well, news. I wouldn't say news, but find out about new things coming out. It's really kind of cool. And Corey is all quiet, so she's either muted or something's going on.
I'm muted. I was like, why is she not saying anything to me? What is that about?
It's because you're muted.
Why is Ginger trying to snub me?
I wasn't trying to snub you. Imagine Fox, I don't care if you talk in tongues. Go away.
Somebody's talking in tongues, Ginger.
I don't know. Something on, I was looking at the geek stuff on Yahoo, and on the right side it was talking about Megan Fox tells Esquire she hates fame and she speaks in tongues. You're a nutcase. You're not Angelina Jolie. Give it up.
Okay, moving along. I don't even know. I have no response to that at all. Okay, so there's a new version of Dead Island coming out that is sure to cause some controversy. The zombie bait edition of Dead Island Riptide apparently comes with a... Check it out. Comes with a gory, bone-protruding, armless, headless torso figurine of a woman wearing a Union Jack bikini. It's about 31 centimeters tall and 18.5 centimeters wide, hand-painted and referred to as a striking conversation piece by the game's publisher, Deep Silver. Deep Silver, you all are some odd people. Even when I talk to them, they're odd. Those are, wow. Okay, so anyway, the Zombie Bait Edition also comes with a steelbook game case, artwork cards, and an exclusive pack of weapon mods. It costs around $99, euros, francs, whatever. And it'll be out April 26th, 2 days before my birthday. Please do not get this for me as a present. I do believe I find that a little bit disturbing. I don't understand the motivation.
Just a little bit, find it.
I'm trying to be PC or something. I find it to be a little bit disturbing. I want to play the game, but I don't want the conversation piece. Wow. Okay, also, before we go, let me do another little quick one. A British writer has managed to land the job of all jobs. He's going to be writing the Assassin's Creed movie. His name is, according to the Hollywood Reporter, his name is Michael Leslie, and he's a relatively unknown writer, just has a few films under his belt. He's been hired for his grasp of the historical drama. And it suggests that the Assassin's Creed film will take its cues from the first Assassin's Creed game, indicating a return to the Crusades era Holy Land and the grumpy Altair, who is my favorite. Of course, they're saying he'll need to get to work quickly because they want to start shooting this summer for a November 2014 launch. And they want Michael Fassbender to be the front man. Yeah. They're also working on a Splinter Cell movie starring Batman actor Tom Hardy, which I am not pleased about. Tom, don't want you. Sorry.
You don't want Tom?
No, not as... Let me look at him again. He may be... If he's who I think he is, he's that one guy that's also in that movie with Justin Timberlake in Time. Maybe. Let me look at him one more time. Let me look at him again. No. No, Tom. I say no, no to the no, no, no. You are not Sam Fisher. No. All right. We have to go. You have that relationship where you consider getting back with your ex. Sam, I think we're over. It's just over between you and I. There's nothing. There's nothing. I can't do it.
Interesting.
I can't do it.
No.
It's time for us to go. Okay. We will see you guys later tonight, we'll be doing Pixinista. We'll be at 9 tonight.
Can't wait. That's going to be awesome.
9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Make sure you're here listening.
And it's going to be live.
I could have at least gotten my boy Ryan Gosling to play Sam Fisher. He doesn't look like him, but I would have accepted that. Just so I could see it, take his shirt off.
And this whole Red October malware, man, that's kind of crazy. We knew it was going on. Everybody knew something like that was going on. Come
on, man. Tell us about anything. See, that's what
I know, I meant to, but then, like, it was like my last little. Yeah, I forgot about it. I tweeted it, though, so go check that story out. Red October malware found snooping on Russian state network.
That'd be
scary. I'm trying to find out who owns it. Have you figured out who owns it? Who put it out there?
I'm scared.
Oh, almost certainly cyber weapons deployed by the U.S.
Oh, this is going to be ugly. Mm-hmm. All right, guys. We're out of here. Can you give him a kiss?
Make the strongest iron. 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 Iron.